Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life is celebrating its 30th year of ministry this year, 30 years of transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. New Life Live is dedicated to helping you in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Really glad you're with us here today. Joining me is, well, two great women, both PhDs, Dr. Sherry Keffer, Dr. Alice Benton. Hi, guys.
Hey, Steve. Hello. It's great to be with you, too.
It sure is. Always good to be with you. Always good to be with you. And if anybody wants to be with us, there's something you can actually do about that. You can call us at 1-800-229-3000. 1-800-229-3000. Now, this weekend, we're in Dallas, and we're doing our Intimacy in Marriage weekend. I was just talking to someone today, and after 36 years of marriage, people are separated. They don't like each other. They are angry. And I said, you know, this is such good news, because for this problem, unlike some other kind of diagnosis or medical condition, there is something that can be done that really does work. And all they have to do is call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and come to this marriage weekend this weekend. It is unlike anything anybody else is doing. If I knew of anything better, more helpful, I'd say go do that. But you guys have been. You know.
It's amazing. In fact, as you're talking, I think, Steve, so many of us don't know what we're doing that's causing kind of spontaneous combustion to happen in our relationship. True. Things just heat up. And what the weekend does is it helps you learn how to let that steam out in that relationship and start filling it up with good things. And so we don't know what we don't know. And so many couples come back, and actually that weekend is the thing that helps them learn how to love each other well. So don't miss it. If you're really frustrated, don't stay in that spontaneous combustion place. Come and learn how to turn things around.
And the way that we combine teaching with the group work really advances the healing so quickly, because people are able to put into practice and to experience what they're being taught in the main sessions. And so it's amazing what can happen in those groups.
A lot of progress in very, very short length of time. And I just can't say enough about, if you can just get over the hump and make the phone call, it will literally change everything in a marriage, and very few people ever walk away from there, and things don't get better. So 1-800-229-3000 if you want to join us on the program. If you want to know information, find out really life-changing information about our marriage weekend, you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. I want to talk with Dan, and he's calling from Ontario, California, listens on KKLA. Hello, Dan. Welcome to New Life. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
I'm doing okay. Glad to be on radio live today. How can we help you?
So I'm calling because my older sister, she's having an affair with a place, with the boss of where I used to work at. And, you know, both parties being married, it's hard to, we tried helping her, you know, work on her marriage and, support her with what she needs, but it just seems like recently she's been trying to take advantage of our help and still not really trying to work on the marriage.
Okay,
she says that, you know, she's done everything she can, but, She doesn't see who it affects.
All right. So we're going to take a break and come back. We're going to see if we can help you, sister in an affair with the boss where you used to work. In the meantime, try to get your phone in a different place. We've got a kind of a strange connection there. But I think we can give you some good advice here on how to help her best. We'll be back right after this for more of New Life Live.
My wife had found me out and came home one weekend. She had revealed my secret. The only reason I was sorry at that time is because I had been caught. I had had the Every Man's Battle book for years and pulled that book out that weekend and found the phone number on the back and called it. And then a week later, I was at Every Man's Battle. It really gave me the start I needed for my recovery. I never had had that opportunity to sit down with guys I didn't even know and totally open up. The good thing was I was opening up to guys I didn't even know. So why did I care? Just lay it all out on the table. I have nothing to lose. You need to check it out. At least go online, check out what it's about, and take the chance and go do it.
If you're struggling, call us. There are people on the other end of the line who want to hear from you, who want to help you. We don't want you to go on struggling. But you got to take that first step. Just give us a call. It's 1-800-639-5433. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Dr. Sherry Keffer and Dr. Alice Benton on, and we're talking with Dan. Dan, your sister is ironically having an affair with your old boss. Is that right?
Is Dan on? There yeah, he is. Thanks, Dan. Okay.
So that's correct, that she's having an affair with your old boss, right?
Yes, it is.
Now, it's your old boss or her old boss?
My old boss.
All right. And her husband, your brother-in-law, does he know about this?
Yeah, he's the one that found out, and he's been trying to work with her, but she's been very hard to work with.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so what's the question for us? He knows, and I wonder if the... Now, what does this guy do for a living, this old boss of yours?
He's like a maintenance director.
Maintenance director. Okay. So, do you know if his wife is aware of what's going on?
Yeah, she's aware. And I guess if last month they were trying to work on it, him and his wife. But, again, it's broken down again.
Well, you can't work on it if you have any kind of continued connection, you know, with the person you're having an affair with. So, what is the question for us? How to help him, her, what?
Well, mainly, like, we've tried some things. Like, my brother-in-law tried some counseling through someone, but they only got through one session because she doesn't want to go through it. And mm-hmm. I don't know if... I really don't know what's going on in the background, but, is one supposed to be like more aggressive with them, or not aggressive at all, and show them love? Like we have shown them love, but can that turn into they see it as accepting their actions?
Well, I'll turn it over to. Let's start with you, Sherry, and just say what you think about what stance the husband should take.
So, Dan, you know what I'm hearing in you, and I really can appreciate it because I think so many people feel that, is this sense of powerlessness over what to do when someone is actively hurting people they love. And as you mentioned earlier, your sister doesn't really get how many people are being impacted by this. Right, she's caught up in an act of sexual deception, intimate deception, really. And so the fact that both people know, there's this illusion out there that love heals all. But you know what? In cases like this, that's not my first step. My first step is interference boundaries, having to say no. One of the spouses, if everybody's just kind of caught up in this, well, we just need all love and hope for the best, but her, you know, your sister isn't engaged in counseling, then her husband needs to begin to put some boundaries in place that create distress in her world. And so sometimes people have a hard time knowing what boundaries look like. Right. If I'm married and my wife is not willing to go through what it takes for her to help me heal from the betrayal, I need to start drawing a line in the sand and saying, if you aren't willing to go into counseling, then I have no way of working on repair with you. So unfortunately, as much as I don't want this to happen, I'm going to move further and further away from you. Right. Which might mean our kids are going to get disrupted in our home. It might mean changes in our family. I don't want to lose you, but I cannot collude with you. And so boundaries are a way of saying no. And in this case, no is a complete sentence. There's got to be a hard line in the sand. Is anybody in this crazy system drawing a line in the sand right now?
I know her husband has tried. For a few weeks now, my sister has been staying with my parents. So, but every time they try to talk, it's always disputing and arguments.
So your parents have stepped in right now and created a little nest for her.
That is not good.
Yeah, a little nest. She's betrayed having an affair with your boss. She's not willing to work on the marriage. But do you see how somebody's always there to put a little nest out? So guess what? She's pretty comfortable.
So your first conversation is with the parents. Hey, this is not good. You're making it so comfortable for her to do something that's not right. You're enabling evil here. You have to ask her to go away. You can't support her while she's doing something evil.
Okay.
That's your first conversation. And then Sherry's saying the conversation to your brother-in-law is, dude, you got to say you're done here. You're not sitting around waiting for her to make up her mind. And then when he starts taking that kind of aggressive step, he actually starts to become a person to her again. He doesn't even exist to her anymore.
Yeah, you're so right, Steve. I had a wife very recently tell me, you know, my husband's like this wet noodle. He's always trying to please me. And I don't respect him. I want him to push back. And sometimes when betrayal happens, the partner that's been betrayed, of course, is devastated. Mm-hmm. And yet they kind of, in that place, lose their power. And so even listening to a show like this where we can shore him up and say, it is okay to be upset. It is okay to put a boundary down. She's not going to come back if you just let her go to mommy and daddy.
And he needs to be talking to his in-laws saying, how can you do this? How can you support her in this? She needs to be facing the consequences of her decision.
And Dan, what Sherry and Steve are describing, it is biblical. Because you're right, the Bible talks all about love, but it also encourages us to tell the truth in love and to bring to other believers, especially if your sister is a believer, to bring the sinful behavior of another to their attention, to do it in love, but to do it, and even to bring along a witness, to bring along a pastor, hoping that that additional influence will wake a person up. So I want to put some words out there for you to bring to your sister, if you haven't said it already, to tell her, I love you so much that I am willing to risk telling you this, that what you're doing is wrong, and it's hurting your husband, it's devastating your marriage. And if she has children, it will take such a toll on those children and make them vulnerable to repeat the same mistake. You also mentioned, Dan, that you think she's taking advantage of your help as well. So whatever that help is, you may also think about applying Sherry's advice by restricting the help you're willing to give her until she's willing to break off the affair. If your heart is starting to feel resentful or suspicious of what she's doing with the help, then it is a good sign that you're likely being taken advantage of, and that's not the best way to love her and influence her away from this toxic behavior.
Yeah. So as we said before, and Sherry's client has said that the husband is like a wet noodle. I call it, you're like a wet cat. You just kind of even cease to exist in the mind of the one who's unfaithful. So you got to become a person again, and that takes some boundaries, some courage. And I'm going to send you a copy of Take Your Life Back to Give to Him, because there it helps him become the decider, and him to make the decisions that need to be made, the tough decisions. And not only to get his life back, but to hopefully get her back.
And Steve, would we be able to maybe send a copy of Intimate Deception, Healing the Wounds of Sexual
Absolutely.
Betrayal? Because
yep.
we've got two people here that are dealing with yep. sexual betrayal, and they need to be shored up to know what to do to yep. turn this thing around.
Yeah. I'll tell you, the drug of sexual intimacy outside of marriage is a very strong drug. It goes away really mm-hmm. quickly. And most of these affairs don't last, especially if somebody quickly helps one of the parties see reality, come to grips, face their consequences, rather than make it oh so comfortable for them to continue in the deception. Yeah, we'll send them Intimate Deception also. If you're in an affair, come on. This is not the way you want to live your life. Let's go to Stacy, Dallas, Texas, KWRD. Stacy, how you doing?
Hello, and thank you for everything y'all do. My issue is my husband and my oldest daughter, who's in her late 20s, had me arrested in December for a mental health warrant because I was attempting to try to leave my marriage, and he financially abuses me. Well, so I filed for divorce. Then he made part of our divorce that we had to go through psychological evaluations, and mm-hmm. I didn't think that much of it. I didn't give it too much clout. I just wanted to get divorced. Well, anyways, my husband totally manipulated the psychiatrist, and the psychiatrist now has given me, I guess, a diagnosis of delusional, which my mm-hmm. husband wants because he doesn't want anybody to believe anything I say, like he's been committing tax fraud and he's a sex addict, and he's been trying to trap me.
Okay, so what's the question for us then? This is horrible.
My question is, I don't know how do I try to fight what he's doing, you know what I'm saying? Like the psych evaluations, I mean, we've already done it. But do I get somebody else to say, no, she's not. She's been through all this trauma. You stole her car and you stole her purse and you broke into her house.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I just don't know. I don't know what to do because it's not going to look good if I go to court and then the judge has all this stuff saying that I'm a nut.
Okay. Now, do you really believe that he was able to manipulate a psychiatrist into thinking that you have a problem and you don't really have one? You think he can do that?
Well, because of all the trauma I have gone through with him, like I said, he's mm-hmm. broken into my house.
No, I'm talking
car,
about I'm talking friend. About I'm talking about well, one question here. I'm asking you,
okay.
Do you really think that your husband was able to manipulate a psychiatrist who takes, you know, an oath and all of these things? Do you think your husband has the power to manipulate a professional like that into thinking someone that doesn't have a problem has a problem?
Okay, yes, I do, because
okay.
he has manipulated almost everybody,
right.
including one of the New Life
okay.
Counselors, or marriage counselors.
All right, so let's see. Let's start with you, Alice. What are you thinking when you hear just a really sad story like this?
What a chaotic, frightening situation you have been living in, Stacy. And I think it makes all the sense in the world to get a second opinion for a couple of different reasons. Yes, if you believe he was able to manipulate the psychiatrist, then of course you want another opinion to help you in the court case. And also to find out from somebody else, to find a path through this chaos, because you're going to need help and support in someone you can trust so that you're not going through this alone. And also to ask the question of that next person you get an opinion from, to ask them to give you truthful feedback about yourself as well, so that you can learn, what has my role been in all of this, even if it's just I've been tolerating the intolerable, or to be your support and fight for you in court.
What do you think of that?
I mean, I think it's good. I just, my only other problem is that he financially strangles me.
Well, financial strangulation in situations like this are resolved through the court also.
Yeah, I understand. I just have the wrong attorney.
So.
Okay, well, I do appreciate your opinion.
Yeah, hold on. We'll hear from Sherry right after this. You're listening to New Life Live.
My husband had done the Every Man's Battles, and I thought, what? There's something for women?
The Restore Workshop is coming to Washington, D.C., November 9th through the 11th.
There are so many other people that are going through the same things, that love the Lord, and it doesn't look very Jesus to do certain things and think certain things about your mate, but that's normal. I just got a new normal. It's not dark in there. It's very light. You literally hear people laughing that could not even smile or frown. I was that way as well. I was pretty much just flat. It happened almost immediately, the energy of everyone pulling together for restoration. It happens pretty fast.
To find out more about the Restore Workshop, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
It went from get out quick with the info to making friends.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
For most of my life, I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Yeah, we are back. So, Sherry, what are you thinking here? What's your take on this? What do you think she ought to do? I mean, it's pretty tough.
Hey, Stacy. You know what? I'm just kind of following along with what Alice said. I think that was really wise to get a second opinion. And you know what is really true about chaos and about pain is when we have this many things happen to us, our levels of anxiety can get so high.
Yep.
That level of anxiety can actually cause our mind to go into even somewhat of a paranoia place. So when I'm hearing you, Stacy, and you're talking about these painful things, your voice at the end, you kind of laugh or giggle. And I'm thinking, oh, there's so much pain there. There's so much hurt, right? When someone's really hurting at such an extreme level and that anxiety is so high, we can laugh instead of cry. So I want you to get into your own therapist. I want you to see someone that can help you drill in what's going on with this chaos, with your mind, body, soul, possibly some medication to help support you through it.
And
we want to encourage you too, Stacy, that when the people that are most supposed to protect and love you work against you and undermine you, it becomes incredibly difficult to know if anybody is trustworthy and to be able to differentiate what is truth, what's reality, what's manipulation. And so getting an objective outside party is one of the best ways to help you decipher the difference.
And so there are two things that you want your attorney to do. Number one, I need financial support so that I can no longer say, you know, that I don't have any resources to do anything with. The second thing that you want to do is that you want any psychiatrist that has, you know, given you some kind of diagnosis or whatever, then you want to say to them, okay, so what are you saying I need to do to fix whatever problem you're saying I have? What do you need to see in me? Where's the area that the work needs to occur? You're entitled to that. You need to know that. And so ask them to tell you what they expect you to do. Where's the treatment? If I have an anxiety disorder and you think I'm not stable, what's the treatment for that? That's what you want. So that you can kind of settle in, settle down, go back. They can say, wow, totally different person, responded to the treatment. Great. But just to walk out of there and to feel like, oh, this guy is against me and I can't, you know, do anything or there's nothing that he can help me with, don't take that attitude. You want to, whoever or however this guy got your case and is working with you, boy, work with him. And that second opinion thing, even better if you could get somebody else. And don't be afraid of the second opinion. If the second opinion says you've really got a problem, work on that problem and expect that they're going to help you do that.
And Stacy, don't let the finances stop you, because you have so much on the line here, and the price that you will pay if you don't get help you can trust is too great. If you ask and pray, there are a great many clinicians out there who would assist you, who have sliding scale fees. There are programs to go through to get the kind of financial support you need to get the services. So please don't let that stop you. Persevere through this.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's go to Elizabeth, Fort Wayne, Indiana. I was just there yesterday, Elizabeth. We could have talked face-to-face, but now you're on radio. How you doing?
Good. How about you?
Doing okay. How can we help you?
Well, I have a 14-year-old son that in some ways he tells me everything, but I can't get things out of him that I want to.
Like what?
I guess I don't know how to say it. For one thing, he does not he doesn't want to talk to his stepfather. If he wants to know something that he absolutely knows, that he knows that I absolutely don't know, but that the stepfather does, he'll ask through me. He don't want to directly ask him, you know. And it's not that they don't get along. They work together. They talk when they work, but he's still reserved, really reserved. And I was wondering how can I help him come out?
Well, what is the, now that, I mean, the stepfather knows the problem, what is he doing to try to kind of mend that or be safe, whatever, for your son to come to him? Is he doing anything? Is he reaching out in any way?
He tries. I think he tries. He'll talk to him. Mm-hmm. A lot of times, he won't even respond. He won't talk back. I don't know.
How long have you been divorced?
I'm not divorced. My first husband died.
Oh, he did. How long ago?
6 years ago.
All right. You know what? We got a wounded little 14-year-old here that has had a devastating loss with his dad. And you know what? When we have devastating losses like that, we lose someone and there's no way of getting them back. Somewhere, somehow, we end up putting our heart in a little sealed container We're kind of afraid to give it away. Because if I give my heart away to this new stepdad and he leaves me, I don't think I can live through that. So let's help you think about how you can grow in talking with your son about what's going on with his heart.
Yeah. We'll be back. Right after this. You're listening to New Life Live.
My husband had done the Every Man's Battles, and I thought, what? There's something for women?
The Restore Workshop is coming to Washington, D.C., November 9th through the 11th.
Here are so many other people that are going through the same things, that love the Lord, and it doesn't look very Jesus to do certain things and think certain things about your mate, but that's normal. I just got a new normal. It's not dark in there. It's very light. You literally hear people laughing that could not even smile or frown. I was that way as well. I was pretty much just flat. It happened almost immediately, the energy of everyone pulling together for restoration. It happens pretty fast.
To find out more about the Restore Workshop, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
It went from get out quick with the info to making friends.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Last year after Every Man's Battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
As you're doing God's work here, you're restoring marriages, you're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. And if you in any way could possibly help this ministry, boy, it sure would be a great thing. And the way you do that is you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll send you 6 things every healthy relationship needs, just our way of saying thank you. So Elizabeth from Fort Wayne. Elizabeth, Sherry was saying you've got a hurt boy there, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking if anything good is going to happen, it's going to be because your husband is not going to expect anything from him, but instead is going to love him and do whatever it takes to win his heart. I don't know of any way it gets better other than that. You'll support and all that, but, you know, talking to him versus just coming alongside him, watching a video with him, whatever, not expecting anything, just having, I mean, just seeing it as, if you'll let me spend time with you, that's valuable to me. What a message. It's a message that's powerful to any child, much less a stepchild.
And you
Does
know
that make sense? Go ahead, Sherry.
Well, I was going to say, does that make sense? You asked a question. Does that make sense, Elizabeth? Because I think Steve is right on. I think he's right
well,
on.
Maybe so, but when his father died, it's not that he had a close relationship at all.
Doesn't matter. In fact, it can't even make it. It could make it worse. Has nobody told you that? regretting. I was never close to my dad, and now I've got a stepdad.
Elizabeth, mm-hmm. in a strange way, it could even be harder on your son if your current husband is very present and interacts well with your son. Because if your son is feeling that he likes his stepfather and is enjoying him in ways he didn't enjoy his own father, that could create a lot of confusion and even guilt. I would have you encourage your husband to gently invite your son and to be a listener to your son. And I'm going to give you three ways that he could do that. One way is to acknowledge how hard this might be on your son and how unfair it is that he lost his dad and now he has to figure out life with a stepdad. Even if that means a lot of good, it's still unfair to your son. It's just not supposed to happen that way. And acknowledging that and then giving your son permission to feel whatever he feels. And I'd have your husband lay some emotions out there. It's okay to feel angry, confused, sad, guilty. And it's okay if this takes a while. But son, I want you to know that I'm ready to listen when you want to talk. And every once in a while, I'm going to check back in with you about this. Mm-hmm. And if at some point you're willing to talk with me, I want to hear it.
And
I'm going to send you, okay, go ahead.
I was going to say one more thing, Elizabeth. I think, too, that you might be unknowingly dealing with some grief and loss. And not having been connected, probably, with your husband, you really want this one to work, and you might be unknowingly trying really hard to get them to bond. And so I just want you to be able to look at your own longings, your own hurt, and let go of that and move towards what we suggested today.
Yeah. Yes. And oh my goodness, what a great thing it could be. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to send you Every Young Man's Battle. And I'm going to suggest that your husband say, hey, you know what? Here's a book. A lot of guys have used it. Let's go through it together. And let's talk about this issue of sexual integrity together. It's a great connecting point. I'm going to send it to you. I want to talk with, let's talk with Morgan. Flint, Michigan, WSNL. How are you there?
Hi, how are you doing today?
We're doing okay. What's going on?
Oh, a whole lot is going on.
Really?
The situation is kind of confusing to me, so I'm going to try and get down to the point without rambling on too much.
Okay.
So it started off for about 20 years from the time I was 15 to about 35. I'm 36 now. For about 20 years, I struggled with porn and drinking and smoking marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a wife and kids, and there was this one day I was sitting out on the porch, and so I prayed that God would take this stuff away from me and help me to be better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I got up in the morning, and my wife and kids had left.
Oh.
So everything just kind of went crazy from that day forward. I began to quit smoking and drinking and everything else. And that was when it really got crazy for some odd reason. There was about two or three times where I felt something come over me and like my arms would start tingling and stuff. My mom was praying that I would be filled with the Holy Spirit, but I don't know what happened to me right there because I was going to like this days, and like I came in to have communion with my mom at the kitchen table. She got the juice ready, I got the crackers ready, and then I threw the crackers behind me, and I said, I guess we don't need these anymore. Well, she knew something was wrong right there, so she walks over, gets her Bible, sits back at the table and reads something off, and when she did, I leaned forward and coughed, and right after I coughed, I said, thank you, Mom. It just came out of my mouth. And I never had that happen again from that day on. But I had some other odd happenings where I was sitting in the church parking lot.
All right. So, but before you do that, I think we've heard enough about that. Tell us the question.
Okay.
So you've had strange things happen to you.
Yeah.
That are hard to explain. So what's the question for us? How can we help you?
Well, my main question is, so I've been through a lot of crazy things, and lately I'm feeling really empty. And just at the end of my ropes, I haven't really done a lot about my situation lately, just from being depressed. I just kind of sit around because I'm not sure what to do. So the question is, like, is there a point at which someone has done something unforgivable or has hardened their heart and it's just over? Or is there always a way to get right with God again while you're still alive?
Well, here's the thing. People that have hardened their heart never ask the question if they've hardened their heart.
Oh, okay.
Because your heart would be so hard, you wouldn't know anything was wrong. See? You'd be so
right
into the sin that there's no conscience, there's no regret, no remorse, no longing for something better. I'm going to hear first from Sherry. I got a couple ideas for you, but I'm going to save that till after we get their take on what they think might be something you could do to help your situation. But listen, there's only one unpardonable. There's only one unpardonable sin, and that is you don't take Jesus at his word. You don't believe he was the Savior, and so you reject him. But Sherry, what are you thinking when you hear this?
Well, I like your question, Morgan, because I think what you're asking us is how I can really get my world and my life back on track. I'm pretty empty right now. Let me tell you what I didn't hear. I didn't hear that as a part of your recovery, you got involved in a 12-step program. And, you know, God is at the center of that. And you began to, with a group of people, unpeel the layers as to what is underneath 20 years of acting out, right? Porn, drinking, smoking.
And yeah, we heard a lot of quitting and giving up, but we didn't hear a lot of starting and building and growing stuff. Right, Sherry?
Yeah, that's what I hear. And I heard these moments, these kind of spiritual moments almost, and I don't mean this in a mean way, so I hope you can hear this, but you know how from our addictive core, we're kind of looking for that hit. We're kind of looking for that high. And and you've had some spiritual highs and spiritual hits. But you know what, my friend? That's not what transformation looks like in the kingdom of God. Transformation looks like a seed being planted into the ground and that seed growing and roots spreading through the soil and starting to take root and go deep. And that is done, my friend, in a 12-step recovery group. So that would be my recommendation. Go deep, go wide, get engaged with others and do the work. You'll find yourself there.
And I just say that if you were able to quit these things, God gave you a gift so that when you would start recovery, you wouldn't be so obsessed with using again. But you got to do something with the gift.
Hi, Steve Arterburn here. I'm really looking forward to being with a lot of wonderful people at our Life Recovery Conference. It's a great time to get a little boost in your recovery, gain some new insight from some great people who understand addiction, recovery, and all that the 12 steps can do down the path toward healing and hope and wholeness. Come join us for the Life Recovery Conference. It's always a great time for anyone who's interested in what are those 12 steps and how better can I utilize them in my life and my recovery. You can even learn how to run a group. Maybe you never thought about doing that, but you'll feel competent and confident after the Life Recovery Conference.
The Life Recovery Conference is coming to Orange County, California, Saturday, October 6th. To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to liferecoverygroups.com.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to
fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
This is Terry McIntosh, and I want to remind you that we have an app for your smartphone or tablet. It allows you to live stream New Life Live, catch up on archived programs. We have articles on there, and there are short audio and video teachings as well. Just go to newlife.com, look for the download the app link. It's at the bottom of the homepage. And if you want the most up-to-date information on New Life, you can follow New Life Ministries with Steve Arterburn on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You'll get special offers, connection, and also encouragement. Steve, back to you.
All right. Thank you, Terry. And the New Life app, really easy, really makes it easy for all that you do. I want to remind everybody, we have our, this weekend is the Intimacy in Marriage Intensive. You could still get in. October the 5th is our Washington, D.C. Every Man's Battle. That's going to be incredible. I'm going to be in Killdeer tomorrow night. I'll be speaking at the name, let's see, what is the name of where I'm speaking in Killdeer? Yeah, it's going to be Informed Choices. I'll be there tomorrow night. Love to see you there. And then we've got our Life Recovery Conference October 6th and our 30th anniversary celebration on the 19th. You can find out about all of that, including our trip to Israel on March the 16th through the 26th. Oh, my goodness. And if you register by September 30th for that, you get a $100 discount. That's a big deal to me. So call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, or go to newlife.com. You can find out about all of that. All right. I'm going to send him the Life Recovery Bible. I think that's going to be a big help. I'm going to go to Gene from Fayetteville, Georgia. Hi, Gene. How you doing?
Hi. Fine. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a question. My pastor, you know, I love him. I'm not going to leave the church or anything, but I need to get an understanding on this. I don't quite understand. But anyway, he preaches the gospel. He sounds just like you almost. He's preached real good. But then out of the pulpit, he gets on the dance floor and dance secular music. That's kind of, and I was, well, I just wonder, is that right or good or
well, what would be wrong with it? Let's see what that would be. What would be wrong with that? Like,
yes,
let's say that. Would it ever be wrong, like for a ballerina to dance to a symphony? Would you think that's wrong?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, once I came to the Lord and born again and received a gift of the Holy Spirit, I left those things alone because I used to be a club, go to clubs and dance and all that. But, you know, I don't have a desire for that anymore.
Right. But I'm not talking about you. I'm not talking about you because, you know.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, I'm just talking about in general. How about this? The appropriately named square dancing. What is that? Do you think that that's a bad thing?
Square dancing, I think that's all right. You know,
but that music's secular. I would say it would have more to do with, you know, what's in the heart of the dancer. And certainly we've seen dances, and my wife have made a stand against this, about young girls doing, you know, jazz, not jazz, but modern dance, where the movements are quite suggestive. Those are all different issues than just somebody, I think, dancing to the beat or the rhythm. I mean, I think God gave us music, and there's secular music, and then there is horrifically horrible, sinful music because of the lyrics.
Yes.
And I just think it's very difficult and complicated. And Now, if you'll send me a video of your pastor dancing, I will evaluate the... I'm just kidding. Hey, what do you guys think about dancing? And Her heart's in the right position and place, and she obviously, it's not... She doesn't want to be part of that. It represents something evil in her past, but what do you think?
You know what I think, Gene? I think just like we can bond to really good things, like chocolate chip cookies and hugging our friends and puppies, we can also bond to memories that are bad. And I think that dancing represents a really scary, hurtful, painful season for you.
Yeah.
And I think you've got some fear attached to that time period. And so if we've got fear attached to that time period, we can actually get afraid about somebody that is doing that thing, thinking that, oh my goodness, they might get sucked back into that black hole because it was such a black hole for me.
Right. Yes, that's the way I feel.
I know. So guess who has some work to do? The pastor or you? The pastor or you?
Pastor me?
No, I think you have some work to do to heal yourself and get some healing around that fear. Because when we have that much fear about a subject, we begin to put fear on other people and what they're doing. Instead of living in freedom.
Right. Right. Exactly. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Sherry's really onto it there, that you want to be free and you don't ever assume, you know, that something that may not be right for you is not right for everybody else in some of these areas. Now, of course, we know pornography is not right for anybody and stuff like that. But, you know, I think dancing is really a great way for a lot of people to express themselves, enjoy themselves. And but it absolutely there is a negative side to it. And but you don't seem to be saying that he's doing something horrible other than the fact that the music isn't.
Right.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. And see, I was thinking too, because the music that's played, Jesus is not mentioned. You know, it's not mentioned in the music at all.
Well,
now,
no.
Jesus was mentioned. Excuse me?
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah. If he was mentioned, I think it would be all right to dance to it because David danced. But this is worldly music where people in the world dance to and...
We're talking. I think we might be talking past you here, but here's what we think, or here's what I think. I'll say what I think. I think that somebody can have a good heart and enjoy dancing, and it not be something that's a bad thing, even if Jesus isn't in the lyrics. I also think that secular dancing can be something that's not good. As I said, if you've got young girls doing suggestive dancing moves and all, it's what you call sexualized.
That
no, that's not good. So I would really give that pastor the benefit of the doubt. And what I'd be doing is I'd be talking to his wife and seeing how she feels about it. If she's enjoying it and good with it, you know, and that's what they do. Seems like it might be okay.
Yeah. But can I ask you one more other thing?
It'd have to be real
fast.
You
know, the things that we preach, don't we supposed to live that way? I mean, you know.
Yeah, of course. We
set an example.
I wish I had more time, but yes, it's really good.
Okay, right.
If he's up there preaching against dancing and then he's dancing, well, now that's a really good question. Of course, that's not... honoring of God. Dr. Sherry Keffer, Intimate Deception. It's a great book. Anybody, you know, I tell you what, gift of any amount, I'll send it to you. Don't forget Club New Life. 71 of the best teachings are on that. And you get access to this amazing video library, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, newlife.com. If you need some help, still not too late to literally transform your marriage this weekend. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.